Chapter 5, in which they find the meaning of "Here there be dragons." By reflex, Jared looked behind him, but the goblins were no longer there. The griffin landed with a clatter of claws on top of a car, denting it, and immediately began to groom himself like a cat. Simon grinned from Byron's back. Jared turned to Mallory, but she was staring at it. The cow was chained to the ground, lowing softly, eyes wide enough to show the whites. Her udder was covered in what appeared to be writhing black snakes, jostling for a position at her reddened teats. They blackened the metal sheeting on the ground beneath her like a squirming carpet. After a moment, Jared realized the creatures were larger salamanders. "What are those things doing?" Mallory asked. The blood-stained sword hung limply from her hand, and Jared was overwhelmed with the impulse to take it from her and clean it before she'd have a chance to notice. He stepped closer to the cow instead. "Drinking the milk, I think." "Ugh," Simon said, squinting down from Byron's back. "Weird." Several more salamanders were lying in the dirt, their scales dull and their bodies wriggling. They were far larger than the tiny finger-length ones Jared and Mallory had seen in the fire. "They're shedding their skin," Simon said. "What are they?" Jared shook his head. "Fire-resistant salamanders. But they aren't supposed to get big like this. They look almost like..." But he wasn't quite sure what it was they reminded him of. Something nagged at the back of his mind. At that moment, Byron darted forward and seized one of the wriggling black creatures in his beak, tossed it into the air, and gulped it down. Then he seized another and another. Greedily, he went for an even larger one, as long as Jared's arm curled up in the sun. It turned and hissed, and suddenly Jared knew what he was looking at. "They're dragons," he said. "They're all dragons." Out of the corner of his eye, Jared saw something moving toward them, fast as a whip. He whirled, but the black thing hit him hard in the chest. Falling backward, he only had time to throw his hands up over his face before the thick body of a dragon, as long as a couch, scrabbled over him. Jared's head struck the ground, and for a moment everything went hazy. "Jared!" Mallory howled. The dragon opened its mouth to show hundreds of teeth thin as needles. Jared froze. He was too terrified to move. His skin burned where the slick body had touched him. Mallory chopped hard with her sword, catching the dragon's tail. Black blood spurted as the dragon turned toward her. Jared got to his feet, dizzy and shivering. His skin was reddened, and the cut he'd gotten earlier throbbed angrily. "Watch out!" he called. "It's poisonous!" "Byron!" Simon yelled, pointing toward the black shape that was hurtling after Mallory. "Byron, get it!" The griffin swung up into the air with a screech. Jared looked after Byron and Simon desperately. How would Mallory escape the dragon now? She was cutting and thrusting as best as she could, but the dragon was too fast. Its body coiled and leaped like a snake, small forearms clutching and gripping, mouth so wide it seemed like it could swallow her whole. Mallory couldn't last. Jared had to do something. Jared grabbed the nearest thing, a piece of metal, and hurled it at the dragon. The creature spun again and started toward him, lightning fast, jaws open. It hissed. The griffin streaked down from the sky, talons reaching for the dragon, beak ripping at its back. The dragon coiled around Byron, wrapping its tail tight enough to choke. Simon hung on desperately as the griffin's wings pushed them back up into the air. The dragon twisted, teeth sinking into Byron's feathered and furred body. Then the griffin's wings missed a beat, and in the sudden drop, Simon slipped off. Jared ran toward his twin as he plummeted toward the junkyard. Simon fell onto a pile of screen windows, his left arm twisted at an odd angle. "Simon?" Jared knelt down beside him. Simon moaned softly and used his other arm to push himself into a sitting position. His left cheek and neck were red from dragon poison, but the rest of his skin looked far too pale.
"Are you okay?" Jared whispered.
Mallory touched Simon's arm gingerly. Simon winced and stood up shakily. Above them, the dragon and griffin were locked together, a writhing, looping knot of scales and skin. The dragon's teeth were embedded deep in Byron's neck, and the griffin was flying erratically.
"He's going to die!"
Simon limped toward the cow with her mass of dragon fingerlings.
What are you doing? Jared called after him. When Simon turned back to them, tears were running down his face. As Jared watched him, Simon, who had never killed anything, who always carried spiders outside, stepped on the head of one of the baby dragons, crushing it into a smear under his shoe. It squealed. Dragon blood stained the ground and melted the edge of Simon's heel. Look! He screamed. Look what I'm doing to your babies! The dragon turned in midair, and Byron seized the opportunity. Plunging his beak into the creature's neck, he rent it wide. The dragon went limp in Byron's claws. Simon, you did it, Mallory said. Simon watched Byron land near them. His feathers were smeared with blood, and he shook himself. Then, dropping the body of the large dragon, Byron resumed eating the babies. This isn't going the way we planned, Simon said. But we're closer to the palace now, Jared said. Mom has to be there. Do you think you can make it, Simon? Mallory asked, although she didn't look very well herself, with her cheek cut and her jacket slashed at the shoulder. Simon nodded, his face grim. I can, but I don't know about Byron. We have to leave him here, Jared said. I think he'll be okay. The poison doesn't seem to affect him. Byron gulped down another squirming black salamander and regarded the Grace kids with his strange golden eyes. Simon petted him carefully on the nose. Yeah, he seems to like these dragons more than anything I used to feed him. Let me see if I can do something about your arm, Mallory said. I think it's broken. She used her undershirt to tie Simon's arm neatly against his side. Are you sure you know what you're doing? Simon asked, wincing. Sure, I'm sure, Mallory said, tying the white fabric tight. They marched in the direction of the palace. It was a massive structure made of what looked like cement or stucco, mixed with gravel, glass, and aluminum cans. It looked less molded than poured, and in some places resembled dried lava. The windows were strangely shaped, as though the creator had fitted the house around whatever refuse he had found. Lights flickered inside. Several spires came to delicate points off the main roof, which was black with tar and covered in overlapping layers of glass and tin that looked like fish scales. As Jared got closer, he noticed that the main gate was made of old brass headboards. Beyond the gate was a deep trench dug in the earth, studded with jagged rusty metal and chunks of broken glass. The drawbridge was down. "Shouldn't there be goblins guarding it or something?" Mallory asked. Jared looked around. In the distance, he could see tendrils of smoke coming from what he guessed were goblin camps. "It's going to be dark soon," Simon said. "It just seems too easy," Jared said. "Like a trap." "Trap or not, we're going to have to keep going," Mallory said. Simon nodded. Jared still thought that Simon looked a little too pale and wondered how much pain he was in. At least the red skin had faded somewhat. Stepping onto the drawbridge cautiously, Jared braced himself for something to happen. He kept glancing at the jagged glass jutting up out of the moat. Then he raced across. Mallory and Simon paused a moment, then ran after him. As they entered the palace, they found themselves in a large hall, constructed from salvaged materials and what seemed to be cement. The archways were trimmed with bent chrome fenders. Hubcaps hung from the ceiling on rusted chains, flickering with the uncertain light of dozens of yellowed candles and dripping with wax. Set inside one wall was a fireplace large enough to roast Jared in. It was eerily quiet. Their footsteps echoed in the dim rooms, and their shadows loomed along the walls. They walked farther, passing musty-smelling couches covered in threadbare throws. "Do we have anything even remotely resembling a plan?" Mallory asked. "Nope," Jared said. "No," Simon echoed. "Hush," said Thimbletack. "Have a care. I hear something over there." They paused a moment, listening. There was a faint noise that sounded almost like music. "I think it's coming from here," Jared said, pushing open a door that had been decorated with more than a dozen knobs. Inside the room was a tall, long table made from a plank of wood on top of three sawhorses. Thick candles that smelled of burning hair covered most of the table. Rivulets of melted wax ran down the sides. Also set on the table were platters of food, long, greasy trays of roasted frogs, half-eaten apples, the tail and bones of a large fish. Flies buzzed greedily around the remains. From somewhere in the room came a series of high-pitched notes. "What is that?" Simon asked, squeezing past a single large chair. Then he stopped, looking at something Jared and Mallory couldn't see. They scrambled over to him. A large urn sat on the floor underneath an open window. There, in the wavering light, Jared could see sprites trapped in honey, sinking as though it were quicksand. The sprites' tiny cries were the sound he had heard before. Simon reached in to pull the sprites free, but the honey was heavy and clung to their thin wings, tearing them. The sprites squealed as he set each one down on the table in a sticky, sodden heap. One was completely still and lay there limply, like a doll. Jared looked away, staring out the window. "Do you think there are more in there?" Mallory whispered.
"I think so,"
Simon said.
"At the bottom."
"We have to keep going." Jared moved toward another doorway. The thought of the tiny drowned fairies made him feel queasy.
"The palace is just too quiet," said Mallory as she followed him.
"Mulgarath can't be here all the time," Jared said. "Maybe we got lucky. Maybe we can just find Mom and get out." Mallory nodded, but she didn't look convinced. They passed by a map hung on a wall. It looked much like Arthur's old map, but the places had been renamed. Jared noticed that over the junkyard had been written, "Mulgarath's Palace," and that lettered across the entire top of the paper was, "Mulgarath's Domain." "Look," Simon said. Ahead of them was a large room with a throne at its center. Surrounding the throne were overlapping carpets in different patterns, all of them moth-eaten and worn. The throne was made of metal, welded together and jagged in places. At one end of the room was a spiral staircase, each step a plank suspended on two long metal chains. The whole thing looked like a web, wobbling slightly with each breeze. In the dim light, the stairs looked impossible to climb. Mallory pulled herself onto the first rung. It swung alarmingly. She tried to step onto the next one, but her legs were too short.
"These steps are too far apart," she exclaimed.
"Perfect for an ogre," Simon pointed out. She finally managed to catch the second step, flop onto a chest first, and pull herself up that way.
"Simon's not going to be able to climb this," she said.
"I can. I'll be okay," Simon insisted, lifting himself awkwardly onto the first step. Mallory shook her head.
"You're going to fall."
"Hold on tight," Thimbletack called from Jared's hood. "You'll be all right."
Then Jared watched in amazement as each step swung closer and held steady for his siblings to climb onto it. With one working arm and Mallory's help, Simon climbed up the stairs.
"It would behoove you to move," said Thimbletack.
"Oh, right." Jared worked his way up the steps. Even with the brownie's help, his heart thundered as he went higher and higher. The cut on his hand burned where he gripped the chains. Glancing down into the darkness below made Jared momentarily dizzy. At the top, they found themselves in a hallway with three doors, all mismatched.
"Let's try the middle one," Simon said. "We made so much noise just now," said Mallory. "Where is everyone? It's eerie."
"We have to keep going," Jared said, repeating his words from earlier. Mallory sighed and opened the door. It opened onto a large room with a balcony made of mismatched stones and chains. Giant cathedral windows filled with translucent mosaics made of glass shards covered the other wall. Their mother was in one corner, bound, gagged, and unconscious. In the other corner, hanging from ropes in a pulley, was their dad.